This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:45 in the morning. BFM is asking listeners on Twitter, with the recent rise of COVID cases, have you changed your social habits again? So there's three choices: yes, significantly, yes, somewhat, and three, no change. Now, in the meantime, Gabagan Rakyat Sabah has picked his chief minister, and he's none other than the Bersatu chief in the state, which is a gentleman named Datuk Hajiji Mohamed Noor. Hajiji made the announcement yesterday afternoon, saying that he was unanimously picked by GRS, and the chief minister hopeful, UMNO's own Datuk Sri Bong Maktar, concurred, saying that the compromise was needed for the greater good of the coalition.
And this announcement came after a highly charged Sunday, which saw both Hajiji and Bong rushing to Istana Negeri in the afternoon, only to be told that the Sabah governor needed more time in making his decision. Now, the governor made it official at 4 p.m. yesterday when he invited Hajiji to the Istana Negeri and personally handed him the invitation to attend the swearing-in ceremony happening later this morning at 10:30 a.m.
So to break it down for us in terms of what's happening in Sabah, we turn now to Dr. Oh Ee Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Thanks for joining us, Ee Sun. Now, what sort of leadership and governance do you think we can expect from Dato' Hajiji?
Well, I think you gave the answer away just now by calling him the gentleman called Hajiji. Indeed, he does have a gentlemanly flair. Hajiji is a non-controversial figure in the Sabah political landscape, unlike his well-meant rival for the last 2 days, who have a lot of parliamentary antics. So I think you expect a leadership style very similar to one of our previous prime ministers, Tun Ahmad Badawi, whereby it's more of a laissez-faire type of leadership style. Hopefully that could indeed unite the people of Sabah here. Yeah.
And Ee Sun, but what do we know about Datuk Hajiji Noor, other than the fact that he's a gentleman? What can we expect from him?
Well, he was an UMNO politician for the longest period of time, I think since the 1990s. After the last round of general election, I think he switched to Bersatu together with a bunch of other MPs as well as members of state assemblies. So I would presume some sort of quiet leadership. You see, because he led the pack to join Bersatu. That shows that people do believe in him as a leader, but he's never that kind of very showy type of leader. So we are not talking about Dr. Mahathir. We are talking about Tun Ahmad Badawi here. Yeah.
Ee Sun, what about things like long-standing issues like rural poverty and infrastructure within the state? What can we expect from a policy perspective from Dr. Hajiji?
Well, if we are talking about poverty eradication or alleviations or infrastructural developments and so on in Sabah, those have been perennial issues in Sabah, and successive administrations were not able to resolve them. Basically, because, a lot of resources in Sabah have to be channeled for national development in other parts of Malaysia. It is hopeful that now that Datuk Hajiji's party is in line with the federal ruling coalition, especially when he is from Prime Minister Muhyiddin's own party, that more funds as well as resources for development could be channeled back to Sabah for its own infrastructural development. Yeah.
And Ee Sun, if we look at a bigger picture, right, where does this leave UMNO, who appears to be sidelined after having the sitting Prime Minister and now Sabah's Chief Minister, both Bersatu candidates? Of course, keeping in mind that Bersatu has less MPs than UMNO in this Perikatan coalition.
Well, the UMNO is still a very potent political force, as was demonstrated by, as you just mentioned, it winning even more seats than Bersatu. So I think UMNO would continue to not be happy about playing second fiddle in Muhyiddin administration. And I think they will continue to push for early general election so that they could win convincingly, not so much over the other side, actually, but over Bersatu, and thereby take the primacy in leading the coalition, the ruling coalition. Yeah.
On that issue, Isan, one suggestion is for Perikatan to have a rotation chief minister where both UMNO and Bersatu get a chance at the leadership for a certain defined period. Do you think that's going to work, or do you think that, and do you think this will appease UMNO?
Well, Sabah did experience chief minister rotations in the 1990s up to, I think, around 2003. Of course, it gave the various, at that time, the main thing is about the various communities in Sabah. They will have their own leaders to be the chief minister. And now, well, if there's a rotation in the chief minister system, well, how long is the tenure of each chief minister? If you're talking about 2 years, well, nowadays, we tend to dissolve parliaments every 2 years, right? So before your term is up, you might be, you know, you might not be able to attain that office. So you still might not be very happy. So I think the rotation system, it's a suggestion, but perhaps it's still not very feasible here.
And meanwhile, if we look at Warisan Plus, right, Dato' Sri Shafiq Abdal's camp has been quiet. And I understand that he still hasn't conceded defeat yet. So can we expect more from Warisan Plus, or is it really the end of the road for them in terms of who is the chief minister?
Well, if you look at the last round of general election, Musa Aman was sworn in about 2 days afterwards. But 2 days afterwards, there was a change of chief minister, right, as one of the parties switched allegiance. So I would say don't rule out Shafi yet. He might still spring a surprise, yeah.
Yeah, son, can Perikatan afford to lose UMNO if he decides to throw their support behind Warisan Plus instead?
Well, that has been one of the ideas mooted when Bang Mokhtar wanted to be the chief minister and Hajiji's side didn't view and so on. Apparently, Bong suggested that UMNO could leave and join Warisan, I mean state UMNO. But of course, now apparently, as you saw the smiling faces in the PC yesterday, apparently they have settled their scores.
And very quickly, right, Isan, does Dato' Sri Anwar's attempt to form a new government change this conversation at all?
Not really, because PKR party led by Dato' Sri Anwar is frankly not very powerful or significant in Sabah, beyond one or two seats in Sabah. So, and nowadays, frankly speaking, people do not pay quite a lot of attention when he announces yet another attempt to sort of switch the federal government. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Doc. That was Dr. Oh Isan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, discussing Sabah's recent elections. Very interesting, especially his last comments. And maybe it just shows the lethargy and the fatigue that Malaysians have with ever-shifting political figures and all the machinations that come along with it.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, people really want to know what's going to happen with the economy, right? What are the bread and butter
issues? Bread and butter
issues. Are they being addressed adequately? And then now with COVID-19 rearing its ugly head again and going into triple digits.
Especially in Sabah.
Yeah, Sabah, and also now creeping into Peninsula Malaysia, that comes back into focus, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, I wonder how much is to be read in terms of Dato' Hajiji's appointment versus Bung Mokhtar's. I mean, just in terms of the personalities alone, one is like north and the other one is south. You know, one might bang tables, the other one might just, you know, wipe the tables down. Do you know what I mean? In terms
or
of
maybe
their
be
approach.
More conciliatory and try to, you know, mend bridges rather than burn bridges, right? Because what has really, the outcome of the Sabah elections is that politics has really divided the nation. The popular vote between GRS and Warisan Plus was almost equally split in the middle.
Okay, we'll come back after this with the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Then after that, on the breakfast grill, I will have Aslan Ahmad. We'll be discussing the debt relief measures at the end of the moratorium period. But in the meantime, up next is a tune by The Kings, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.